Magnificent God. Magnificent God. Magnificent Lord. Magnificent God. Magnificent Lord. Let's pick it up. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Magnificent God. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Magnificent God. Let's lift our hands and sing. We worship you. We worship you. I can't worship for you.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. This is the day. I will rejoice and be glad in you. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in you. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord.
Celebrate!
Celebrate the presence of the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord, for He is worthy.
praise the Lord this morning. Well, praise the Lord. Why don't you find somebody and give them a hug this morning? Praise the Lord. Tonight at 7 o'clock, everybody say tonight at 7 o'clock. We got church tonight at 7 o'clock. Wednesday night at 8 o'clock we got church. Friday night 8 o'clock we have church. Thursday at 10:30 we have Bible school, New Testament survey. Everybody aced their first test. Everybody got an A on it. I don't think that many of them cheated. Amen. Wednesday night, we're starting the evangelism seminar Wednesday night, and evangelism is really good. Billy came and aced it. Yeah. Everybody pat them, say, good job, students. Yeah. Why don't you open your Bibles this morning? Amen. And you can open that Bible. Let's go right. I tell you where a good place to start. Let's start right in the book of Genesis. See you kids later. Genesis chapter 1, and we'll go right to 11, verse 11. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. How many are ready to learn something that you can apply to your life? How many are ready to go over to increase? How many believe in supernatural increase? Amen. And in today's time and all the stuff that's going on today, you need a little bit of godly help, right? And you can apply biblical principles to your life and see it bring about a change. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, who said it? He said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb, and yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Whose seed is in itself. Where is the seed?
In itself.
Where is the seed?
In itself.
Okay. Upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass. Somebody say, the earth. Yielded grass. Okay. An herb yielding seed after his kind. Isn't it a trip that sometimes even dirt will bring forth fruit before some of us? I mean, God spoke to the earth, and dirt has a possibility to bring up some stuff faster than we can. Sometimes, you know, it takes people years and years to bring forth any type of fruit or anything good out of their life. But even dirt, somebody say, even the dirt has the ability to produce. Okay. Now listen, after his kind and yielding forth fruit, whose seed is in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was what? Good. And God made a promise regarding this earth. Somebody say, there's a promise. Go to Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, and we'll figure out what this promise is. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither again will I smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So we say, while the earth remains, everybody stomp on the ground real quick. It's still here, isn't it? Okay. Seed time and harvest will always be there. Look at somebody and say, seed time and harvest. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Seed time and harvest. How many of you have learned about seed time and harvest before? Well, when you say the word seed time, everybody write down seed time. Now, there are two things about life, two portions of life. There's a sowing portion and there's a reaping portion. And many people just want to reap, but they don't want to sow. How can you control what you reap? Control what you sow. If how many of you are reaping a bunch of junk? It's so quiet in here this morning. How many of you are reaping a bunch of junk? Everywhere you turn around, there's junk coming. Well, it's the result of what you sow. What you have and what you experience is really comes about what you talk out of your mouth and the kind of life that you live. If you have a miserable life, chances are, amen, you sow miserable words. Or you sowed it someplace. Let me say that what you have is exactly what you've spoken and what you brought about out of yourself. So seed time is, listen, when we look at this word seed time, you can write down this Hebrew word there, okay, and that Zera, Z-E-R-A, Zera, okay? And that basically means planting time or sowing time, childhood time. Many people don't the Bible says, despise not small beginnings. Well, that small beginnings is basically a seed time. When things start small, that's the time when you really sow the most. Some say despise not small beginnings. So it says, listen, from the beginning, listen, there will always be a childhood time and an adult time. And in every phase of your life that you're going through, every dream that you have, every promise you have in your family situation, guess what? It's going to start out in a childhood seed time, and then it will grow up. So you got to discern where you are in life. Now listen, that fruitful time. Now many people think in fruitful times we don't want to face this, but you know also in seed time it says carnally. Everybody say carnally. People don't want to face that. Everybody wants to get so spiritual, and they want to pray about everything. It's nice to pray, and they want to believe God for money to fall from heaven. Amen. But they don't realize that along with this seed time, it means also carnally. Somebody say fleshly. That means you've got to sow something with your hands. Amen. You've got to sow effort. Somebody say you've got to do something in your body. Many people don't realize we reap a lot of spiritual things as a result of what we sow in the natural or in the flesh. It's all spiritual. It's all spiritual. But one thing I'm finding out, that there are many natural things that you can sow and reap spiritual results. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Sowing most of the time is more so carnal. It's a carnal action motivated by a spiritual inspiration. Many people have spiritual inspiration. They got great ideas, but they don't do anything to get that idea off the ground. Somebody say, you got to plant it. And you got to plant it where? In the ground. You got to get it down to ground zero and plant it and work with it. Somebody say seed time and harvest. Many people want to have a great harvest, but they don't want to have any seed time. They don't want to go through any childhood stages. Even in our ministry, in our church, there are a lot of people that want to come in during the harvest when everybody's flowing in, right? But there's a spirit and there's a time for everything. Before you can have that great harvest, you've got to have much due season. Before you get a much due season, you've got to have a wonderful childhood. And I tell you what, people that have great childhood have a better latter end. And people that have dysfunctional childhoods, it's very hard for them to be successful in the latter end. Well, even spiritually speaking, and in our dreams and in our visions and in our goals and ambitions, in our childhood stages of that, we get messed up. We allow the devil to raise our dreams instead of the Holy Spirit. So we say, till the earth remains, seed time, and harvest. You must learn to honor your seed time with God. How many want something to happen tomorrow? You want something to happen next year? Well, guess what? You got to get a spiritual vision on the inside. You got to develop faith. You got to hear the word about what you want God to do. And then you got to learn to walk it out and honor that seed time experience. Let's say childhood. There are a lot of people that aren't successful in their life or aren't successful in their ministry because they're in an illusion. You know, they're in some fairyland. They don't want to face the facts of where they really are. It would be like us, you know, wanting to do everything else but what was absolutely necessary right now. Somebody say, be a child when it's time to be a child. And then if you're a child, when you grow up, you'll be able to be strong in that and you won't fall back. Lay the foundation. People wonder about us. Why are we always laying the foundation on Wednesday night? Wednesday night, we're showing these videos. Then we have the health ministry over and over again. Why are we watching health ministry? Why? We're being a child. That's what a child needs. We want to see, why don't you talk about raising the dead and healing the sick? Well, you got to have a child first. You got to let them grow up. So just say, praise God. Despise not small beginnings. Until the earth remains, seed time and harvest will always be there. How many of you ready to get your ministry started? You're ready to get your life going? You're ready to get the ball rolling in your life? Well, it starts, first of all, in a childhood stage. Don't be upset. Don't be stressed out if you're a baby. That's how it begins. That's the law. Okay? And most of the time in childhood stages, God's going to talk to you and he wants you to do, somebody say, do something. Just do something. Find a vision, find a dream, and then act on it. Faith without works is what? Dead. And if you want to please God, it's impossible to please God without faith. So listen, you get an idea, you get a dream, you hear God, you get a vision, then do something about it. Take it to childhood stages. Act on it. Somebody say seed time involves some portion of a carnal person. Amen. I'm not talking about the old devilish person. I'm just talking about flesh, you know, natural. You got to get balanced. Amen. Now, everybody say harvest. Now, at the end, if you have a good seed time, you'll have a good harvest. But everybody wants to hear about harvest. They want to hear about harvest. They want to hear about harvest. But no one ever wants to hear about seed time. Before you can have a harvest, you must have a wonderful seed time. All right? This is the method that God has chosen for this planet. It will be here. It will be that way as long as the earth is in existence. Seed time and harvest is God's method. Say it, amen. In the area of your healing, do you know that? When if you're believing God to get healed, guess what? Your healing will come, first of all, with seed time and harvest. Most of the time we plant seed. Now you can plant physical action, but everybody say your words. Your words are seeds. Your words are seeds. And if God's going to do something, somebody say, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Well, you've got to get the word of God on the inside of you by planting the seeds of the word. When we talk about plant the seeds for that miracle that you need, that means you need to talk it up. Somebody say, name it, claim it, confess it, possess it, blab it, and grab it. Listen, you've got to talk about those things. You're not going to be able to grab a hold of anything that you don't talk about, first of all. See, now, there are a lot of people that all they do is talk, and no walk. But before you can even walk, you got to talk about it. Somebody say, plant the seed. Seed time is a time when you just talk about it. You get a good idea, find some people of faith. and just talk about it. It's okay to talk about it. Amen. I see this new house. I see this new car. I got this vision. I got a dream. So say, talk about it. Talk about it with the scripture. Go into the word of God and find out what God's promise is and keep talking to yourself. And the more you talk that thing up, the more you talk scripture over that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to build something within the inside of your spirit. You're going to build the foundation for a miracle on the inside of you. Somebody say seed time. Your words are seeds. Write that down. Words are seeds. Now, if you're talking about the ground, if you're planting ground, if you're going to plant the ground, soil, well, what would we call the soil? Soil or the ground would be your heart. Your heart. Your heart is a very precious thing. Listen, everything that you do, everything that comes out of a heart. So we say your heart is important because whatever you plant, you're going to plant it in your heart. What you hear and what you speak goes directly to your heart. So if you're constantly negative, constantly griping, constantly going through a bunch of stuff and it's always running out of your mouth, guess what you're planting on the inside of your heart? All that stuff, and that stuff's going to come out. Somebody say, you get what you say. We have a CD out there called Confession. Confession. You ask for it, you've got it, whether you realize it or not. What you talk about is what you get. Somebody say, you reap what you sow. And many people think it's just, well, I'm going to do this action, I'm going to do that action. But really, your words are always sowing. Because listen, if we've been created in the image of God, did you know that? You've been created in the image of God. And how did God form the earth? How did God form the world? What did he do? He spoke it. Didn't he speak it? So there's something that has to do with the spoken word. Your words mean something. Your words have creative power. And when you speak things, amen, you start something. There's a law set in motion. And many of your situations will get better sometimes if you just shut up. We hate to hear that. Amen. If you can't say the right thing, somebody say, don't say anything at all. So if you want to start, somebody say, I want to start with a child. I want to start with a seed time. Take a week of not saying anything at all. Even though what you say might even appear to be the truth. You know, you get people that just drive you nuts. You know, and you just want to say the wrong thing. Well, you're going to have to, what are you going to do? You're going to have to hold those words because you don't want to plant those words in anybody's heart or in your heart. Because guess what? You sow it out of your mouth. Guess what? You're going to live it and you're going to reap it. There are a lot of people that got bad situations. They got situations that are just unbelievable. But you can never get them out of the situation because all they do is talk about their bad situation. Talk about my bad back, my bad back, my bad back. Somebody say planting seeds, focusing on the bad back. And guess what? You'll always have a bad back. But if you would start to confess what? Healing. If you start planting seed of the healed, I'm the healed of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Things are getting better every day. You get, so there is something that has to do with words. You get what you say. Amen. So if you start planting positive seeds on the inside of your heart, that's what will come up. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now listen, seed time and harvest is God's message. So we know one way that we plant seeds is by the words of our mouth, right, and our actions. Okay, here we go. The law of seed time, basically the law of seed time and harvest is also called the law of Genesis. Did you know that? The law of seed time and harvest is also called the law of Genesis. Now, we read Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, when it said everything produces after its kind. First thing you need to realize is what you get, what you sow. Everybody say, after his kind. Now, after his kind means this. Many people want to get big things, but they always talk in little things. Everything produces after its kind. After its kind means this, the portion of, in the portion of what they sow, or in the attitude that they sow things. Let's go here. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 8. He that soweth iniquity shall reap what? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 8. Proverbs, you reap exactly what you sow, and these are just some scriptures talking about reaping what you sow. He that soweth iniquity shall reap what? Well, what is iniquity? Iniquity is just repeated sin, repeated foolishness, the wrong path, you know, outside. Anything that you do outside of the will of God will ultimately turn into iniquity. So if you just keep sowing stuff, the Bible says, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world yet lose his own soul? Well, if you keep sowing everything about your life, you keep sowing into the wrong thing, or you keep sowing iniquity, guess what you're going to reap? If you sow into something that's not going to produce anything, what are you going to get back? Nothing. You reap exactly what you sow. Let's go here. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. You don't have to worry about it. I had one time, thank God, through it took me years to repent. It took me years to repent over this issue. And if you had been in Nations Church about 2 years ago, you think this place gets wild today. We had one time where everybody would just talk in church. Everybody would just, I mean, it would be ridiculous. I mean, you thought you were in a Grand Central Station. I mean, they'd hold full-fledged conversations right in the middle of the church. Nobody's mouth would ever shut up so they could hear the word. And I would always have a problem with this. Why can't we get these people to shut up? We need stronger ushers. Do we need guns? What do we need to get these people to be quiet in church? And I could never figure it out. I said, what is the problem? And I went to God in prayer and said, God, I can't make the people be quiet in church a little bit. What is the issue? It wasn't that the sermons were boring or anything like that. And he said, you're reaping what you sowed. I said, what? He said, yeah, you reap what you sowed. He said, remember those teachers you had when you were a kid in school? You would never shut your mouth. You were always running your mouth in class. Guess what? You got a whole church, a whole bunch of people that won't run their mouth, that won't shut up. You will always reap what you sow, whether you like it or not. It will always come back. That is a law of God. If you sow corruption, sooner or later corruption is going to come back to you, and it usually comes back a lot worse than what you sowed it out at. You start talking about somebody, you hold on. It'll go real good for a while. You'll find somebody to start talking about you. You will always get back exactly what you put out, and even in the same measure. So that's why you got to watch the way that you live and by the way you walk, even in cases where we feel justified in it. Because whatever you put out there, we had one person that would always pray curses on people thinking they were doing God a problem, doing God a favor. I'm going to pray down this ministry. I'm going to pray down that thing. I'm going to pray it down. I said, well, you pray it down all by yourself, because whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. I said, there are a lot of Christian dummies out there that pray stuff down, so let that be their ministry. I want the ministry of blessing people, amen, because if I bless people, people will bless me. You will, no matter what the case is, whatever you put out there is what you're going to get back. So you find out what you're being led to do. There are different people. There are different people say, well, I'm led to do this. And everything they're led to do is something negative for somebody else. And I can just tell God's just setting you up, sucker. Amen. Because it will definitely come back. You speak death over people. You're on your last days. Guess what? You're going to shorten your days. No matter what it is, that law will never be broken. Do you know that even Jesus, oh, we'll get there later, okay? Now listen, Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. For they have sown the wind, somebody say the wind, and they shall reap the what? The whirlwind. Didn't it come back? Now listen, wind represents spirit. You know, when you're talking about the wind, it means spirit or ruah in the Hebrew. Wind represents spirit or attitude. Usually, I believe this wind is kind of negative. I believe this wind is kind of negative. Somebody say, you know, you ever when people get huffed up when they get upset, and when they get upset, they just can't control themselves? You ever been there? I get there, and Belle say, look who's talking. And Belle was working with me last. Yes, sister, I will repent. I was here working last night at the church. We were doing something. I couldn't get one of the computer programs to work, and boy, I was getting heated up. Well, listen, what you sow while you're heated up, that's why many times when you're out of sync, you need to shut down. You know, don't function. Like if you're all mad and flustered, shut up and wait till, because if you sow in the wind, somebody say wind. For they have sown in the wind. When they've sown, when they were out of control. Can anybody control the wind? We can pull energy from the wind, but you really cannot control the wind. But they that sow, they have sown in the wind. Basically, they sown by their own emotion. They sown by their own will. Like somebody say the wind. Whatever way they were feeling is what they sow in. You know, they get mad in a heated argument and they say things, they sow. You know, I can't help it. I was just mad and I said whatever came out of my mouth. I was mad. I said, you worthless, sorry, no good dog, you. Somebody say sowing in the wind. Well, they sowed in that Pete, that heated argument. They sowed when they were out of control. Their mind was not, they didn't have the mind of Christ. Amen. And they'd started to do some things. The spirit that you do things in will greatly, I'll tell you what, alter what you get back. So you got to watch what you're doing, all right? They have sown in the wind and they shall reap. Somebody say, you're going to reap the whirlwind. See, people get mad at me. How many of my friends, you know, we're all friends. We try to help each other out. We get out there sometime and we get, some say, rescue squads. And your friends don't like, you know, sometimes your friends don't like it when they're all upset. The last thing that you want anybody to do is shut up.
You know, you just want to tell them everything that just happened, and you call the preacher, you call the pastor, and say, wait a minute, I'm not going to deal with that person. I'm going to deal with you. First of all, before we do anything, I got to tell you to be quiet. Because you know what? The words that you're speaking out of your mouth, even though you're upset, even though you're angry, somebody say, they will come back. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It's quiet here this morning. Now, I tell you what, it's not one of those that you jump on the pews with, but you can apply this to your life and have a return off of it. Somebody say, shut up and stop sowing in the wind. See, many people sow a lot of things. People sow, you know, we change jobs in the wind. We do all kind of crazy stuff in the wind. Somebody say, that's when you get great seemeth good to me ideas in the wind. Somebody say, in the heat of the moment. We'll change all of our life. We'll make decisions based on the wind, how we're feeling. I'm depressed, so I'm going to do something else. I can't take this anymore. So we're going to sow in the wind. We're going to find this out later with the result of people that are driven by the wind. Listen, they will reap the whirlwind. Basically means they sow in a little teeny wind, they're going to reap a hurricane. Saying there's a storm front coming. Someone say, pray. That's why the Bible says, listen, if you hold your peace, the Lord will fight your battles. There are certain situations that you do have to go to war. But how do you go to war? And if you're going to go to war with a sword and go to war with all this crazy stuff and get out there, guess what? You're going to have another war coming, because one war breeds another war, which breeds another war. So say, shut up, hold your peace, and let God do what he's got to do. That way you won't reap negative. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. So when you sow to righteousness, you'll reap mercy. Now let's go here real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. How many are glad to hear about sowing this morning? How many? Well, you know, I tell you what, you get certain people that learn the law that work it. They're much better than people that don't know it. Amen. Amen. Let's go on. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. You know what? You sow slackness, you're going to reap slackness. Amen. It'll come back to you. You'll get a waitress. Amen. You'll get somebody to work on your house. A lot of times you get people that come to your house and all your stuff broken up. They don't do anything you ask them to do. You know what that is? Somebody say, you're reaping. It doesn't have to be you. So say, praise God. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. When you've reaped something you don't like, what do? When you reap something you don't like and you just keep getting it back, what do? You repent. You change your mind. You repent and ask for deliverance. Say, God, I asked for this somewhere. I sown this mess up, and here it's coming to me. I opened the door for it. Help. Then you change your mindset that you won't be reaping those things anymore. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. No, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly, some say after his kind. This is that principle again. This is that same principle again. Listen, everything produces after its kind. God will bless you with the same mindset that you bless him. He that soweth sparingly shall reap what? Sparingly. How would you like, you know, angels deliver God's blessings, whether you realize it or not. You can figure out, if you study the Bible and you look at the Bible and you figure out how God blesses people. The angels came down and troubled the water and people were blessed, right? And then there was the guy that was praying and waiting for God, and the angel had his blessing, said, no, I won't let you go until you bless me. So the angels deliver God's blessings. Let me tell you what, angels will come with the same attitude that you sow in. If you're slow to sow, you'll get a slow angel. Amen. If you're ready to jip, you know, you got a jipping one, you know. Hold on, hold back. No, I don't want to go too far. I'm going to give exactly down to the penny. Somebody say, no extras. They're going to cut it. You, whatever you reap, even with the attitude that you reap it in, you're going to sow it in. So that's why your attitude means everything, okay? Listen, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. There are a lot of people that are going to have just enough, and if you can live that way, fine. You can live that way, fine. But there are a lot of people that will always live with more than what they need. Why? Because they always sow more than what they need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You overdo it, God will overdo it with you. Whether you realize, whether you like it or not, it is so true. Praise God. every man according as he purposes in his where? You're going to learn something about your heart. Everybody grab, you know, your heart is the inside right here. Everybody put your hand on your spirit. Your spirit, Bible says in the belly, the spirit abides. Somebody say, it's in your heart. You're going to learn that sowing and reaping is a spiritual thing, but it's generated out of your spirit. Now, listen, we got people here that got these big jobs. We got a crazy economy. Y'all need some help, whether you realize it or not. Right? Dean, she said, you're covered, you know, right? He said, that's Dean's problem. Somebody said, praise. He's sitting on the first row with a smile on his face. Amen. That doesn't affect him. David said, now I came here not to hear about stock market. Now you done brought me down again. Amen. Now, listen, I tell you what, whatever situation that you're facing in your life right now, you're going to learn this morning that you can deal with it from the inside. That you already have what you need to meet that need, okay? You already have exactly what you need. It's already on the inside of you, okay? So every man as he purposes where? In his heart. Think, okay? So let him give not what? Grudgingly or of necessity. Now, if you're not, don't be a grumpy giver, you know? But we'll let you give grumpy, amen? If you want to, amen? But for your benefit, don't be unhappy about it. Amen? Or necessity. For God loveth a what kind of giver? Well, praise God. So I say, God loves cheerful givers. And we're not just talking about money. We're talking about cheerful sowers. You can sow many things. God loves, you know, and God blesses what he loves. When he loves somebody, ooh, I love this, and I'm going to hook them up, I'm going to bless them. God loves people that sow out of their spirit with the right attitude. Wow. You know there are scriptures in the Bible that says God loves this and God hates this? You know, people don't like to face this, but there are certain things that God doesn't that God just hates. And whenever God says he hates something, he shows you what he does with people and things that he hates. There's one CD out there, we titled it very professionally, and it says things that gross God out. Amen. Somebody say those are things that gross God out, and usually you do those things, you're going to be a greasy spot one day. Amen. No blessings are going to happen to you. But those that God loves, he will do, you know, he will do certain things for those that he loves. Amen. He says, I love you, he says, as I love you, my Father will love you and will do whatever. So for God so loved the world that he did what? Gave his only begotten Son. What greater gift can anybody give? So before he gave Jesus, he had to have some love motivating, right? So listen, love motivated him to give Jesus. He said, listen, but for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. And God is able, somebody say, he's able to make all grace abound towards you. That has to do with attitude. Whether you realize it or not, God is ministering an attitude. How many of you want God to bless you? You know, see, you want God to look at you with favor and grace, right? As you do, you want God's blessing on your life, you know? And, you know, how many go to certain people for a loan and you can tell by the loan officer's face you're not going to have much favor? Or you go for a job interview and you can look across the table and say, hey, I'm not going anywhere. Some of you unreligious ones, you talk to somebody and say, you want to go out with me? And you can tell you're not going to go, amen? You're not going to be going out this weekend. You can tell whether someone has favor or not. What this is basically talking about, the attitude that you sow toward God and what you think about God and the attitude that you move in, guess what, is how God will respond back to you. Right? Somebody say praise God. God is always good, but you won't be able to discern how good he is. Right? Said he is able to make all grace abound to you. So if you sow gracefully, see, grace means, this word grace is the word charis, and where we get the word charismatic, what it basically means, favored. And grace in Thanksgiving, we say grace, he said, we are saved by grace. How many Baptist kind of people we got out there? You know, we'll sing amazing grace, how sweet the sound, how it saved a wretch like me and Tommy. I once was lost. Well, grace. Now, you know what that grace basically is? The root word to grace is thankfulness. Somebody say thanks. When you bless your food, you say what? Thank you, God. You're so good. When you pay somebody, you're telling them thank you. And when you appreciate someone, you want to bless them. You know, you give to people because you just want to say, gosh, thanks, man. Here. Have a tie, have a Coke, have something. Thank you. Well, that's what grace is all about. When God's flowing towards you with grace, God is actually saying, Thank you, Belle. I love you so much. Thank you for hanging around me. I want to give you some grace. I appreciate you. Somebody say, thank you. See, that appreciation, if you sow with grace, if you grow, listen, God's been good to me. I want to be good to somebody else. If you have that mindset, guess what? God will have that same grace toward you. And people don't, we can never, there is something about grace that we will never understand. We've made grace so religious. We got a religious concept of grace. Grace is nothing more than God's just glad to know you. And we can't figure that out. We got people that can't stand us. But God loves us so much. He cares about us so much. Listen, he's so thankful to have you in church. He's so thankful to have you praying to him that he's great. He said, thanks, I love you. Let me hear you. Thanks. So say, God appreciates us. And that's why he blesses you, because he's thankful that you think about him. He's thankful that you know him, and he's thankful that you love him. Hey, Tommy, he's thankful that you came to church this morning in grace. Somebody say, ooh, I got to tell Tommy thank you. People don't understand that. Even God says thank you. See, there are so many people, you know, this is a quality that we don't have. We don't show any form of appreciation. We don't know how to say thank you for anything. Go get me this, go get me that. And we don't have time to stop and just say, hey, thanks a lot. Most of the time we say it, it's really sarcastic. And a lot of us aren't reaping in gracefulness because we don't sow any gracefulness. If you start to walk, you know, somebody say, the way you tip at a restaurant shows the measure of your grace. Well, she didn't do a good job, so I ain't going to give her that much. And I haven't pulled money back. I repent. Everybody say, we're going to learn to do graceful tipping and mercy tippings. So say, grace. How many want to reap some of that grace this morning? Yeah. Sow some grace. Sow some grace. As you start to sow grace, you'll be able to reap great grace. Hallelujah. It's good this morning. There are a lot of people that really show God how much they love him, how much they care about him. Coming to his gates with thanksgiving. There are a lot of people that don't, ooh, glory to God. I'm glad David came to church this morning. Don't you shoot me this morning. Amen. Amen. I'm talking for those that didn't come this morning. But if they had just thought about thanksgiving. Somebody say thanks. Say it one more time. Thanks. See, we'll be motivated. See, there are a lot of things that we want to be able to sow, and our sowing's not happening. It's hard for us to sow because we don't really know how much God has done for us and how much we really have and how appreciative we really are. If you have the attitude of, hey, thanks, God, I can get up, you know. Thanks, God, I can go and do what you want me to do. Amen. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you are all, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Somebody say grace. Grace. Now listen. Glory to God. Now go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. Y'all going to be blessed today. Y'all going to get out early this morning. Somebody say hallelujah. I went to David's house on Thursday, and David said, if you keep me a minute over 12:15, I'm going to shoot you. So I believe him. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. He that observeth the wind shall not do what? He that observeth the wind shall not do what? Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not do what? Reap. Wow. There are a lot of people that don't reap because they don't sow, right? And a lot of people aren't motivated to sow because they are always looking at the what? The clouds. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. He that observeth the wind, somebody say, observing the wind. There's one lesson that we're going to learn in order for us to be blessed. If you're going to want to be blessed out of something, you got to get blessed of God, and God will help you out. Somebody say, you can sow your way out of stuff. If you need those phone calls, you need to get those phone calls, you need to get those deals in. You got to sow some deals. Somebody say, sow it, and you'll reap it. But there are a lot of people that don't sow, especially in today. There are a lot of people that are really not really flowing out of their heart because of today's economy and all these different things that are going around. So say, those that regard the wind don't sow. Now I'm talking about outer wind, okay? Now that wind represents, you know, attitudes or the mood of things around about us, the feeling of things. Listen, on Sunday, after the big thing on September the 11th, when that bomb, when the planes hit the building, people went to church. People were supposed to sow worship and sow praise, right? But there are a lot of people that went to church, they went to church gloomy, and they weren't able to sow what God requires. Why? Because they regarded the wind. They allowed outward circumstances, amen, to tell them what they were to sow out of their heart. There are a lot of situations that we're going to face right now in dealing with certain situations, you know, in life, that you're always going to get to something that's going to want to shut you down. But you can never stop sowing. In every circumstance, you must sow. Every day that you live, you've got to sow. You might not be feeling well and you don't understand what's going on, but you got to say, hey, I must sow if I'm going to reap. Every day that you live, life is nothing but receiving and rejecting. That's all life is. Did you know that? Receiving, letting go, releasing, and taking in. That's all life is. And every day that you live, every breath that you breathe, it's nothing. All the pulse of life is, when you wake up that morning, God's expecting you to let something out and take something in. Let something out and take something in. That's what life is all about. Well, there are a lot of people that don't live. They don't live because they regard the things around them. They shut down. Those that regard the wind will not sow, and he that regardeth clouds shall not reap. See, today's a day for the body of Christ. Well, this is a great day to have a great, we can reap the world today. Why? Because so many people need to know about Jesus with all these events that are happening and all these great things. It's harvest time. But there are a lot of people that are paralyzed and afraid to move because they observe the wind around about them. There are a lot of people that, listen, the economy's shutting down and they don't want to step out in anything. You better wait until it's all over. Don't step out. Regarding the wind. You better be motivated by what that little inkling that you get on the inside of your spirit. Amen. You better regard the voice of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit might tell you to do something out of season. But you won't obey the Holy Spirit. You won't do those things. Why? Because you regard the wind. Everything else that's going around, it doesn't seem right. I can't figure it out. Now's not the time. But if the Spirit of God leads you to do it, somebody say, do it. This is a good thing. Listen, regard of the wind means you just keep thinking about everything. You keep dwelling on everything that's going on, and you pattern your life on everything else that's going around you. How many of you want to prosper even today? They're telling you, America, you better buckle up and tighten up. We're going to suffer a bit. We're going to go through some stuff. Saints should say, oh, no, I won't. Amen. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I don't care. I'm going to make money during this time. Amen. I don't care what's going on. I will be increased. Even in time of famine, the Bible promises us that we would be blessed. Amen. Well, you won't be blessed if you regard the wind that's going around. You don't see where it's coming in. Amen. Microsoft's this. This is going. Everything's going wrong. Right? Everything's going bad. You would never think. You've already shut it down. You shut down your sowing. What do you mean? He that regards the wind stops sowing. Listen, you regard the wind, everything's going around. You're not going to be talking about your promise anymore. Before this stuff happened, you were talking about, hey, I'm going to get this house, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, things are going great, it's going to be good. Then you regard the wind, and all of a sudden you stop talking about it. Stop sowing. In our ministry, different times, we went through different difficulties in our ministry. When different things happened, and it got real mad, you know, one moment when the place was packed, we were talking about, we're going to buy the place, we're going to take the world, hallelujah, woo! Then a wind came, somebody say a wind came, and blew just about everybody away. And all of a sudden, we stopped sowing because we regarded the wind. How many of you are regarding the wind in your life? You know, maybe the wind, it might be some of y'all that are battling in your bodies in different sicknesses. You refuse, you know, on days when you're feeling better, you say, hey, I'm healed, I'm going to be healed, and everything's going to be all right. Then all of a sudden, you get a symptom that shows up, then you stop confessing and you stop sowing the seeds of healing because you're regarding the situation. Someone say, never stop sowing because the winds may change. When everything's going great, you got all the faith in the world to say the right things, but as soon as one thing happened that doesn't match up, you stop speaking the promise. If you regard the wind, if you make up your mind by what you're going to say out of your mouth, by what goes on around you, guess what? You will not sow. And if you don't sow, you won't reap. What does that say? That we're not allowed to look at the things that are going to be wise. You can't figure it out. You don't know what's going on. So listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Are you learning anything about making this really weird? When it says, he that regards the cloud, you know that scripture? You know what cloud means? Death or darkness or gloomy day. It could even mean bad economy. Any type of darkness where we can't figure it out. Somebody say doomsday or whatever it is. If you're looking at that, guess what? You won't be able to reap. Because God wants the church to reap in this hour. He wants you to reap in this hour. He wants you to be blessed. You know, how many? Don't you dare change your plans by what's going on in the world around about you. If you don't regard the dark day, don't regard that stuff, you keep speaking prosperity. For we walk by what? Faith, and not by what? Praise God. What you do for God must always be done in faith. What God's going to do for you, it's not going to be done. Listen, you're not going to pick it up. Oh, I see it over there in the natural, and that's going to happen. No, it's going to be done on the inside of you. All right? Listen. And faith is never based on the seen, but on the unseen. There is always a greater day on the inside. Write that down. There is always a greater day on the inside. We were talking about redeeming evil days. If you got a bad day, let me tell you what. That better day, in the midst of your bad day, in the midst of your calamity, there is a better day for you already planted on the inside of your heart. But you got to learn to dig down on the inside of your heart and pull it out. So say, there's a greater day, and a better day on the inside of me. So if you're seeing a bad day on the outside, go on the inside and pull out the brighter day. Somebody say, praise the Lord. There is always a greater day on the inside. Live out that day. Wow, isn't that great when you refuse to let the devil take authority over your life and control over your life? You're saying, hey, I'm not moved by, I don't care what's going on out there. Amen. I'm living the day on the inside. On the inside of me, the sun's shining, I'm still healed, and Jesus is still there, and everything's all right. I'm living out the day that's on the inside of me. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. If you got peace on the inside, you'll breed peace everywhere. Don't expect to receive your peace. He said, my peace, I don't give it to you like the world gives. The world's not going to give you peace. He's going to give you peace from the inside. Whatever you have is going to be based within you. And what comes out of you, people can't take from you. If you got it from somebody else, if it's based on other things, as soon as those things go away and that world is shaken, you'll be shaken. But if you develop your life on things that are deeply rooted on the inside of you, the world won't shake it. And the world can't take it. Greater, everybody say greater, is he that is in me than he that's in the world. There is a greater day on the inside of you. Somebody say, there's a greater day. Everybody say, greater day. There's a greater thing on the inside of me. Say, I got more money on the inside of me than it's out there. I got more healing and health on the inside of me than out there. I've got more life on the inside of me than the life that's out there. John chapter 1, verse 4, chapter 4. I'll try to get there. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. How do you overcome them? With the revelation. You won't be able to overcome in this world. That's a good scripture. We've been talking about overcoming in the world. And there are obstacles that we all need to overcome. Well, you're not going to be able to overcome anything or anybody. Listen, because, listen, you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. When you know that something bigger is on the inside of you than the things that's on the outside, you will overcome. If you're thinking that your deliverance is going to be something that's going to happen out there around you, it won't come. But you think the answer to my problem, the answer to my situation is God, and it's already within me, and I can pull it out, I'll be okay. Some say, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Those that sow by faith will reap in faith. Sowing by faith is sowing from the inside. Everybody say, sowing by faith is sowing from the inside. Some of you have probably never heard anything like that before, right? It says, he that regardeth the wind will not sow, and those that regard the clouds will not reap. Well, that's why you got to learn to live, because life is nothing but sowing and reaping. That's all life is. Listen, so our living and our life, that releasing and taking in, you know, releasing, letting go, and taking in, which is the process of life. Listen, that will happen, only happen from the inside, because things happen. You got to learn to do things because of what's on the inside of you, not because people are pulling it out of you. I live for God, and I serve God, and I do what God tells me to do. Listen, not based because everybody wants me to. That's nice, but sooner or later, that'll get old. You get tired of people sticking straws in you and just sucking the blood right out of you. There are a lot of people, that's how they live, by people pulling from them. That gets old after a while. You know, it's really nice for a while. Then it gets real old. I'm tired of being used. Well, you can stop being used if you learn, amen, to feed others and to bless others from within you. So say, praise God. When we sow, you've got to learn to sow from within. Sowing from within, that means that, hey, look, before I even saw your face, it was coming out of me. I'm sowing from within me. Faith comes from, listen, those that sow in faith will reap in faith. Sowing by faith is sowing from the inside. That means that in a bad day, if you're sowing from, you're not looking on things that are going on around you, you're not motivated. See, there are certain people who only do things when bad things happen. They only take a pot of somebody when somebody dies. You know what I'm saying? They only take somebody out for lunch if they see the bones sticking through their face. They only give them a card when you feel like they're about to blow their heads off. And they wonder why God only moves on their life when things get really bad. Why? Because that's what motivates them, and that's how they sow. You got to wait for a bad day for something to happen. Sowing by faith is sowing from the inside. We are never broke on the inside. Even though you might not have any money, you are never broke on the inside, so there's no reason never to sow. We talk about Friday night. You can sow an offering without bringing any money up. Just put your hand in the plate and say, God bless them. Somebody say, you're never broke on the inside. So there is never an excuse not to sow from your life. There is always something to sow. Acts chapter 3, verse 2. I only got a couple more verses. Some of you ain't been in church in a long time, Tommy, and so I'm going to give you a lot while you got it. Acts chapter 3, verse 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, and they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them which entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, he said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give unto thee. He said, on the inside I don't have anything, but there's something on the inside of me that I can give you. So say, giving life from the inside. You are never broke that you can't make a difference in somebody's life. You have something to offer. That man was asking for money, and they said, listen, I ain't got silver or gold. I just don't have it. Offering time is always a time we have to open up our heart and release something. If you don't have a dime, offer a prayer. So say, always participate. But such as I do have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Somebody say, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Now, I want to read to you one thing. There are certain people that will only sow when things are great, when things are going well, and all this other stuff. They only have the attitude to be thinking about other people. And if you're going to sow, you have to think about other people. Because you can't. How many can take a pie to Jesus today? Can anybody know the way to heaven? You know, you want to give Jesus a pair of shoes? You going to climb to heaven to give Jesus a pair of shoes? Dumb people I knew one time set a fire, was setting stuff on fire, saying they're going to give it to God. You know, I'm going to give it to God. One person said, I'd rather burn money than give it to the church. I'm going to sow it to Jesus. Somebody say amen. Well, you can't do that. The only way that you're going to be able to give to God or to be thinking about God is to give to others. He said, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me, right? Don't ever stop sowing. Every day, find a reason to sow or have your heart open and respond. Sow a phone call. Sow some love. Amen. So you might just want to turn around and say to somebody, sit down for just a second. Just want to tell you I love you. Somebody say so. Glory to God. I think that's good enough. Listen, Psalm chapter 126, verse 5. Every once in a while we get tearful days. Somebody say amen. Somebody say pity party days. Now, I got a promise for you pity party day people. You know, just gets to the point where you're in the pity party. And you say, I'm not going to sow today. I can't take it. I got to say, it's my time. Somebody, it's my time now. So say, well, you're just going to miss out. Somebody say amen. But listen, those that sow in tears will reap in joy. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Then tell you what, if you come in here, your life is so messed up that all you want to do is come to church and cry.
I don't want to put up with it there. I just want to cry. Just give me some time. So say, sow in tears.
You'll reap in joy. So when are we supposed to sow? As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will always be there. It's not going to take a break. Amen? Not going to take a break just because you're having a sad day. One last scripture, Revelation chapter 14, verse 14, to let you know how important this is, sowing and reaping. Revelation chapter 14, 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat likened unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and do what? Reap. I want you to know that even in the last day, the great harvest is nothing but, if God is basing his entire end time harvest on what? Sowing and reaping. You'll be raptured. Guess what? You know how you're raptured? God used the law of sowing and reaping even to rapture the church. He sowed his son that he would reap what? Us. He sowed Jesus Christ, and when he got Jesus Christ, he pulls back a church. Wow. Somebody say sowing and reaping. So even in the end, the law of I am Alpha. Somebody say Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. He started this whole thing with the seed that he planted, and he'll reap it with a harvest. So say, sow the seed, reap a harvest. Somebody say, praise God. Thrust in the sickle, for the time is now come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. Somebody say, it's ripe. And he sat on the cloud, thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. One scripture I do want to tell you too. Listen, be not weary in doing well. In due season. Now, in doing well, it says, don't get weary in sowing well. Somebody say, faint not, for you shall reap in due season. Now, we got a prophetic word, and we believe in prophecy. We've prophesied, you know, we believe in prophecy, and there was a prophetic word, and everybody needs to get it. Everybody needs to get it. It says, listen, be not weary in doing well, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. This is the much due season right now, amen? And there are a lot of people that are going to be able to reap if they don't do what? Faint. Now, we think faint just means, oh, and they just pass out. Well, I can make it just by not passing out. But we had to study it a little bit more than that. Amen. That word faint means somebody say get slack or so relaxed. That word faint also means to get so relaxed and so comfortable that we forget that life is all about sowing and reaping. You won't have a much due season Amen. You won't reap in your much due season if you're relaxed in your sowing. If you're relaxed in sowing, surely you'll be relaxed. You'll be lazy to reap. It will take more effort to reap a harvest than it does to plant a seed. I'd rather throw some pumpkin seeds any day than go out there and harvest 100 pumpkins. So if you're slack in sowing, believe me, you're going to be slack in reaping. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you can't go out to a field and throw some seeds down the ground, you crazy person, whether you realize it or not, you are going to be too slack to go out there and pull one pumpkin out of the ground. Somebody say amen. You will reap if, somebody say if, you don't faint. Praise God. Rita gave me another scripture. Said it's a wicked, evil servant that doesn't reap a harvest. Amen. Now listen. Somebody say, don't grow weary in doing well. For in due season you will reap if, that's an important word, you faint not. Stand up. That's why you need to encourage yourself in the Holy Ghost, that you'll be able to experience every season in the day. Somebody say, every day, I'm going to take hold of the reins of life and sow out of myself good things. Amen. I'll never grow weary in doing well. Now we're going to give you the opportunity after that big message. Somebody say, praise God. Somebody say, we done worked you real good. Hallelujah. No. We're going to receive this morning's offering. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a good God. If you're sick in your body this morning, we can pray with you. Amen. The prayer of faith will heal the sick. Somebody say, thank God for that. Choir rehearsal today at 4 o'clock. Choir sounding real good. We'll pray that Amalia and them went to hear Richard and them. Does anybody know when they get back? Well, we'll see. Well, today at 4 o'clock, choir rehearsal. Amen. Let's pray for today's offering. Father God, we